Do you want to go bigger, badder, better, more? Are you ready to level up your life? Are you ready to be awesome? Now is the time, and this is Success Freaks.
Welcome to Success Freaks number 244, In Over My Head,
where I derail the opening with a new cool adventure.
In segment two, I share a recent situation where I was in over my head and handling things not awesome. Ruh-roh, Reggie.
I get to walk forward through his experience so you all can learn from it.
For the level up section, we postpone the level up and I discover I handled things better than I thought.
Then in On Beyond, we discuss what to do next time the overwhelming issue comes our way.
All this coming up right now. Welcome, welcome everyone to the number one, not therapy, just a voice, comedic motivational show, otherwise known as Success Freaks. Today's working title is episode 244, In Over My Head. And today, we are coming at you semi-live from Chandler, Arizona, and the Bears Den in Conyers, Georgia. In I that Bears Den, you moved again.
I'm just kidding.
In that Bears Den is the very, very humorous Charles Paul. Dark Side Positive. Blah, blah, blah,
blah, blah, blah. Blah, blah. No, I don't know why it took you a while to get used to the Conyers thing, and then that might be funny if I just say we moved.
It was.
Oh, so hey, yeah, last week we did actually a really fun show. Billy came on, who is the production awesome guy that helps us out, and we talked. It's a good opportunity to take it back to somebody who hadn't had a chance to listen to every show we've ever done and grow up with this. And he had real questions about discovering what he wanted to do with his career and his life. And we were able to walk through that. It's always a fun opportunity to, when one of us, Morden or I, gets that separation time to focus on somebody new. Because if we're together, we kind of overwhelm people. You know, because we've done it for so long. We're like, and then we start doing it to each other. And the person who's trying to talk to us is like, I don't know what's going on, man. Stop. it was a good time. And I learned some stuff. You know, Billy came up with some great quotes. And it was all cool. And that, but now Morden's back. And it's, you know, it's whatever.
What was one of his great quotes?
I don't remember. We used it in the level up. Honestly, I cannot remember now, but we did use it. I remember saying it twice in the end of the show, once at the end of the level up and once again at the end of On Beyond. But I've slept since then. I'm going to steal Steve Cox's line. I've slept since then. I don't remember right now. But I remember it was a good show. And now I know Billy wished you were here because he was like, that Charles, man, he just yells at me. He needs to stop yelling.
You yelled at him?
Well, you know, when you do the what do you love, you have to yell. So, yeah, I yelled at him.
I found a great a quote that has nothing to do with anything, but it's just I liked it so much I took a screenshot of the quote itself, and it's by Heather Walker, who's just an Instagram user, and it says, sometimes all you need is 20 seconds of insane courage. I was like, well, that's an awesome quote. Have you ever had that show? Where you're like, oh, I don't know if I can. And then you're like, just do it. And then you're in, and you're like, oh, okay, well, we're here now. Which is kind of how we began Success Freaks.
Wait for the On Beyond people. But I do have a special thing to talk about, something that's happened since Morden has been gone that I was working on for a very short period of time, is I talked myself into a new job. You know how you get that Facebook ads on the side of your Facebook, right? And they of course, they track you. So I see stuff about audio. And right now, I've seen stuff about audio editing, about saving money, about technology, you know, all the different things I search during the week and those kind of things. And I kept seeing this one pop up about it's about learning podcasting. And it kept saying, do you want to learn how to do podcasting better? And at the time it came up, I was in a very grumpy place. I was very tired. So my mind's like, no, I know what I'm doing. Shut up, man. And then it popped up again. It popped up the third time. Finally, went, okay, I'm going to go figure out who these people are. I'm going to just so I can kind of destroy them. Because in my experience through the last 11 years, there's been a few good teachers, but there's been a lot of people who've come and gone. We call, you know, in any kind of industry, it's called fly by night, where they just pop up going, hey, we can teach you all the tricks of podcasting. And they charge way too much money, promise stuff that could never happen, teach you stuff that is stupid and wrong, and a lot of times outdated. and then disappear with your money and never be heard from again. And that's just kind of what I assumed what was going on here, to be honest. So I went and checked them out. It's called joinoneroom.com. As I flipped through, I went, oh, well, that's kind of cool. The rates are super low. I mean, it was $7 a week. I'm like, holy crap. Okay, that's about right for a podcast. I'm thinking about when I was early on and could have learned something, you know, from somebody who could have taught me something. I was like, I could have paid $7 a week. That would have been worthwhile to jump ahead years in my education. And then, you know, look how they did it. They do it with groups, and they have a coach who mentors you every week and checks in with you, and you have an answer area where you can go and ask a question, and in a quick amount of time, you'll get answers back on how to do things or whatever it is you need. So I'm like, okay, maybe I'm not so bitter and angry anymore that somebody's encroaching my territory. And then I looked through their main page, and the main page, they teach all kinds of topics. And it's all done the same way with a coach who's passionate about it. And, you know, there's one live session a week with a whole group of people where you get to interact, much like more than what we were talking about with the Four Horsemen of Success doing the webinar, you know, similar to that. So I actually changed my perspective enough that I found an email for them, an email said, hey, I want to be a podcast coach, and gave them my credentials and wrote this nice, long, beautiful letter to them. And sure enough, a few days later, they wrote me back and like, holy crap, that's awesome. And we had a phone call, and now I'm actually the podcast coach for Join Run Room. So go sign up, and I'll teach you how to podcast.
Boom, boom. We should put that on our, you know, somewhere.
Boom, boom. We should put boom, boom somewhere on our link.
Do you have a link for it? I mean, for you personally, or do you just go to the website and find
it? Yeah, I do. I can get it to you and Billy, and you guys can. I need to get it to Nolan because I forgot. See, I was going to talk to Nolan, who does our web stuff. Hey, Nolan, I don't know if you listen anymore, but you do awesome web stuff still. And we were talking about the next iteration of success. We were supposed to talk about launching the next iteration of Success Freaks, and he ended up having sick kids this weekend, so we didn't get to talk. I do want him to create an ad to put on all the different sites. Yes, I have a special link that I actually promoted on my Facebook page. So if you go to facebook.com/bearcrawling, you have to scroll through a little bit. I don't post a ton on my personal page, so you should be able to find it easily.
Well, also, we'll put it in the show notes.
Yeah, yeah.
So if you're listening to this, it'll be there.
It'll be in the show notes for this episode. I mean, if you go to joinoneroom.com and click on podcasting, you can still sign up. I don't get anything special for it. They just gave me a trackable link that so I could, because that's the other thing. It's a legitimate startup company. They have investors, they have backers, they have a business plan. It was a great conversation with Scott over there, because I joked with him, like, I've watched enough Shark Tank to know if you're a real business or not. it's really solid. I mean, they're not just going, oh, we're going to, you know, do this new fad thing that's coming up and move on. It's a legitimate company about education and changing how online education is done. And they picked podcasting. Actually, they ended up picking podcasting because I talked to them, because they had about 30 ideas they put out to see what the interest was and what people would sign up for. And because I was passionate about what I do, they're like, all right, you know, we'll do that. So
this is kind of cool. Yeah. I'm looking at the website right now. So it's, the very top of the page says, accomplish your most ambitious goals. But because I was scanning, all I saw was accomplish your most amphibious goals. I'm like, what?
Amphibious
goals? I love those.
That's so weird.
They have cool things. They have some things that I'm just like, no.
Yeah,
competitive programming. No,
and what's interesting is the founder of the company is one who teaches the classical piano. He's a classical musician, and he's the coach for that group.
Right. Oh, there's podcasting right there.
Yep.
Happiness. You can teach yourself happiness. And there's novel writing. Now, is that novel as in a book or novel like? Ooh, that's a novel idea.
Why don't you sign up and find out?
No. Woodworking. No, I just sit here and put, oh, urban chicken farming. Oh, hell to the yes. Sign me up. Farming.
There's one LGBT diaries or something like that, basically helping you deal with the issues of being LGBT or whatever. I was like,
right.
I mean, it's a lot of very off upbeat is the right word, maybe?
Yeah.
Different tidying topics.
Up. Here's one that I like. Spanish as a foreign language. Wait, Spanish is a foreign language to me, so boom, got it.
Yeah. As things progress, because they're only going to officially launch, you know, 4 or 5. You're depending on the interest, right? They're doing it very slowly, very smartly. And once they have a certain amount of signups for that group, then they launch it. So it's all pre-sign up now. Oh, crap. We ran our time out. Holy crap. That was fast. But real quick. So our friend Jen, you know what? And on beyond, we'll talk about our next segment, in between. Baby. We'll be back in just a minute. Check out AM 1450. WGNC out of Gastonia in Charlotte, North Carolina. We're on there 5 p.m. Eastern, and they're awesome. We'll be back in a minute.
Since 2011, Mordant and McFall have been bringing you the comedic motivational show, Success Freaks. They've covered everything from life and death to relationships and money and even on beyond to chasing and catching your dreams and leveling up your life. They're in the business of entertaining and edifying, and they like to level up their message as well as their reach. This is where you come in. If you believe in what we're doing here, we'd like your continued support in giving your mind and spirit something to chew on each week while putting enough laughter in your heart to make you smile out loud. Help us help others and you to be awesome. Just go to patreon.com/successfreaks.
Welcome back to Success Freaks number 244, In Over My Head. And as you heard in last segment, well, actually you didn't. You didn't hear it in the last segment because we are tangent men at best and love our tangents. I got a call the other night from somebody very close to me who I don't talk to very often. And listening to the phone call, there was a lot of mental anguish, and they're obviously in a lot of pain. And they just wailing. You know, when you read those words or hear those words, somebody was wailing, or, you know, things like that, you have an image in your mind, but when you're confronted with it, and here I am, motivational guy. Anybody comes to me with a hey, I need some help with blah blah blah, I can usually give them some sage advice, riff on ideas. You know, I'm an idea guy and things like this. But I very quickly realized I was in over my head. That this was beyond me, beyond my expertise. This is something that a professional needs to deal with. Now, I also realized it because I was in the midst of all this. Yeah, eventually I started handling it better. In the beginning, I was handling it badly. This is a person who's a close to me, a family member. So, and when you're stuck with, I don't, you know, in my own headspace, I don't know what to do here. I don't know what to offer, and they're just. They're talking at you, wailing at you. Not really. It's really not a conversation, and continuously talking and trying to interrupt by giving a suggestion or just getting them to talk a different way. You know, suicide was mentioned, different things like that, and then getting to the point where I just start yelling their name to get their attention. Later on, of course, apologizing for that. And, you know, they didn't deserve that. But they did need to hear something else, because they were all about, this is where I am. I'm going to give you my pain. I'm going to give you my problem. I'm holding on to my problem. No, there's no way of getting better. No, I'm not smart enough for this. I'm not, you know, whatever. And I was just way over my head. And I my girlfriend was with me and she was listening, at least to my end of the conversation, and she thinks that I handled it better than I think. But I'm stuck with the feelings about this and my own inadequacy. When this is really not about me at all, there's another way I'm in over my head, and of course that feeds into my foolishness about myself, my own limited belief system, which is I don't know what I'm doing. So eventually I was, you know, trying to feed them a positive, hey, you do need to get help. And they don't want to do that. They don't want, you know, because of they don't want to be medicated and things like this. And I know people who are dealing with depression and who are dealing with anxiety and things like this, who are medicated and need to be medicated. And it's the difference between night and day. And they're not zombies. That's the thing. If it affects you so much that you're just a zombie and you really have no life, that's different. Then it's like, okay, we need to find another solution. But when it's And in the beginning, unfortunately, it's kind of like that as you're trying to find the balance on the medication. And I'm not advocating that's the way you go immediately. I'm not saying that. The first step is find professional help and have a conversation. But when all you know is the pain and you know it and it's comfortable, it's the devil you know, and it's you're addicted to that kind of whatever, you don't want to let go of it because you don't think life's going to get better. You know, I personally have my own issues with success and things like that, which is why I have this show. I own, you know, where, oh, you know, my life is like this and I have a certain level of success and it's not. And see, this is happening only at this level. This is happening only at this level. So I stop myself from moving forward on some level until I'm like, no, it's time to challenge myself. But until you're fighting with this momentum of sinking down. And the first thing that happens isn't a turnaround. The first thing is the cessation of that momentum of sinking down. And then you're able to turn around. And until you see that happening in your life, people who are suffering from abuse go through this. Their self-esteem is devastated because, you know, well, no, I deserve this treatment. No, it's something I've done. And until you're out of the situation long enough where your self-esteem starts kicking in and you're like, oh, wait a minute. No, I do deserve better than this. As one of the things I said is, you deserve better than this. No, I don't. No, you do. You absolutely deserve. And I had to say, listen, you need to stop talking about yourself this way because I don't want anybody to talk about you this way. And I don't want to hear it from you. And it kept happening. So if you're ever out there and whether the person is dealing with drug abuse in such an awful way, or there's depression, or there's something else, suicide thoughts or other things, and you realize, whoa, I'm way in over my head, or you don't realize it and you try to help and suddenly you realize, why am I screaming? Know that you're human. Know that other people do it. Know that you know, people who you respect and whose opinions you respect also fall into this trap. And that doesn't excuse your behavior, but it does mean that you're okay and that you're human and that you can move beyond that. If you beat yourself up so much that you don't want to get back into it and no, I don't want to help people now, or I don't want to, you know, that's not the answer either. It's now it's your turn to learn how to deal with this situation. This is your gift. You get to learn how to do this so that next time it happens, you can do it better. And if you see somebody else in it, you're able to share that, which is what I'm doing right now. I'm calling me on my own inadequacy and sharing that with you. So that also are the strength of success freaks. We're able to go, hey, here's how I screwed up, and let's grow from this together.
Well, that's different. You know, screwing up is definitely different than, you know, being a role. We talked about, you've talked about fake it till you make it. And, you know, I've talked about believing in who you're going to be. And, you know, you do. You cruise along through life. I mean, you know, you're going along and you're working at it. And we have talked about you're good at where you are now, but you don't level up until you hit the troubled waters, right? Or to the big boss you have to fight, or those kind of things. And then go through some kind of hardship, and then you can level up. The hardness of that is somebody believes in you too. So you're going along going, I believe I'm going to be this guy, I'm going to be this girl, I'm going to believe blah, blah, blah. I'm going to believe I'm this person who can help people. And we can on some certain level. Then you get this person who also seemingly believes that you can help people. And then all of a sudden you're like, holy crap, that's not what I meant. Oh my goodness. But you did get to the ultimate answer. It was like no. you need real help. And I've done that a few times in my life and careers of, no, I can host this. I can do that. I can walk into any situation and speak. And every once in a while, somebody go, oh yeah, here you go. Here's a microphone. And you get that moment of, I didn't mean like this. I kind of meant in a smaller way. And you do it. We'll have more in the next section for sure, going back and forth. I want to talk to Morten about what he went through, how he responded, and how he got past the steps. Because that's the thing. When you're the person, I know we have, I think Sherry in here runs her own business with horses and training people to ride horses and those kind of things. And when you're somebody who's starting out and you're doing these things and you know what you're doing on a certain scale, and then all of a sudden somebody asks you to scale it up or expects you to perform on a much higher scale quickly, much like athletes in college football, right? Get signed to pro football, those kind of things. Then what do you do? And I think this would be a good time to go through this with Morten. Let me figure that out. I'll share a story or two I might have. And we'll go from there. So check out something else that helps out the world, IRUSA.org. You know, they help change the world with everything that they do, and they've helped change our world, and we've helped change theirs. So check them out. We'll be back in just a minute.
When our neighbors in America face a natural disaster emergency, Islamic Relief USA is there, assessing damage after floods in South Carolina, cleaning up home sites after tornadoes in Texas, and bringing clean water door to door in Flint, Michigan. We're your neighbors, and we care. Islamic Relief USA, working together for a better world. Learn more at IRUSA.org.
Welcome back to Success Freaks number 244, In Over My Head.
Whoa, 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 whoa. Slow down. I need to process this. Okay, we're back. Cool. I got it. I just didn't want to be in over my head when you brought the sex.
Oh, my God. Oh, yeah.
Apparently that was not as good a joke as I thought. Because it took us both a minute to get there, but yeah.
Sorry. Wow. Well, at least I'm smiling.
Sorry.
Thank you. Thank you. So now that we're here.
All right. So you actually, I monopolized the first by accidentally bringing a shiny, shiny moment. And it's fun. It was good, the first segment, but it had nothing really to do with the show. So then you got to tell your experience in the last segment of what you went through and what you felt, focusing on where you felt like you failed, which is understandable for guys like us. And, you know, some of the overwhelming moments, which is understandable for humans like us. So I wanted to ask you about the steps that you went through, you know, different, not steps so much as moments, so we can pull it out. Because I think we all might not relate to the phone call of somebody having that mental anguish and needing emotional support and help and counseling and therapy, but we can always... At some point in our lives, we've dealt with the irrational clerk behind the counter, or if we're working sales or working anything, the irrational customer, you know, or the irrational family member, or if we're starting our own business, just going, holy crap, how do I do this XYZ when I wasn't barely through DEF, you know, in the alphabet. So I'm glad I specified alphabet because I don't think anybody would have gotten that. But
right, DEF. Yeah. I can't even spell that.
How do you even spell it? It's defense, man. It's defense.
Defense.
So
that's def trees. Defense.
Let's start with the beginning of the call. And if we get to it, I have some other stories to share, but it's not really, I'm not concerned with that so much. Let's start with when you answered the phone from this person, did you have any inkling of what's going on? Or you're just like, hey, what's up?
No, I often it's a long conversation and usually segues into some kind of my life is not great, my life sucks conversation. But this was late enough at night that I was like, is something going on? Is this an emergency? So I answered the phone right away and then was in an hour to an hour and a half long conversation.
Right.
Where this has happened. Might not have been an hour and a half. Might have been shorter this time.
Now, did it start off immediately?
Yeah, this one right from the get-go. Okay. This was immediate and a punch of this person. And I say mental anguish, and it feels like they're just soul-wrenching and crying and wailing. And it's just, you know, when you hit with that from the get-go, there's just a okay. Now, if you're a professional, you're trained to deal with this, and this is a common thing that you know how to do.
Which we are not.
Which I am not.
Well, I said we are not.
Oh, yeah, we are not. You know, the first thing you do is you flounder. You flounder,
you take it personal, don't you?
It presses my buttons, so my buttons gets pulled up, and because I've heard negativity from this person long enough, I kind of know this is not going to be a short conversation and it's not going to really end well, because it doesn't really ever end well. It just continues. Eventually I got my footing. Eventually I was able to say some of the right things. I got some coaching from Christy, my girlfriend, because she's dealt with people like this as well. And so she's like, just kind of go into this. She gave me she was a voice of reason, and I would actually she would say something in my ear, and then I would say something to them. and it helped a little bit. At least, at the very least, it helped how I handled the situation, you know. And this stayed with me for a while. I got real quiet.
Right.
And I'm not often quiet.
Let's jump back into the call, because it seems like learning from this experience, when somebody comes at you that hard, that fast, the only best thing to do, it seems like, is to get quiet. Let it burn out, right? Let the emotion. Oh,
talking about after the phone call.
No, I know.
During the phone call, it's all right, go ahead.
Okay. No, I know from your story during the phone call, you were trying to come up with things to say. And that's in your nature. And that's in a lot of people's nature. I haven't hit this situation in decades. So I don't know how what would be my nature to handle it, but I'm learning from others' experiences and those kind of things. I've learned from what I need. And when I want to explode like that, I just need to burn that energy out, that emotion out, so that I can then actually discuss what's going on, which is very overwhelming to the person on the other end, right? In this case, to you. As this went on, at what point did you feel the switch? Now, what I refer to by the switch is that you're trying to say stuff and it's not doing any good, right? You're trying to get them to say things differently. You're trying to butt in. You're trying to change the flow and energy of the conversation, and it's just
right.
Steamrolling you, and you feel like you're backpedaling, right, or slipping, or helpless. And then there's a switch where you either want to hold on. There's a switch where you either want to quit, or all of a sudden it dawns on you what the right thing is to say. And you were saying about the moment.
Well, you ever have that moment where you realize that your behavior is not acceptable, and it mortifies you. I use the example. I don't know if I've used it here, but I have allergies sometimes, and I will have, I use Bounty, you know, because you can blow your nose and blow your nose and blow your nose, and it doesn't just pull apart in your hand. But I would, you know, carry it with me and stuff it in my pocket, and sometimes set it down and just forget. I had a friend of mine that I was staying with. This was years ago, I think the 90s, where he says, "Do you realize that you're putting your little hanky things all over the house?" And he started pointing it out, and I was just like, as the saying goes, the biblical saying, the scales fell from my eyes, and I saw it, and I was mortified. "Do you realize you do this?" "Yes." So during that conversation, she came back with, "You're yelling at me just like my family does, just like everyone else does." And I thought you would, you know, I don't know if she said, "I thought you would be different," yeah. but that's what she brought. And that slapped me in the face.
Well, okay, let me touch on that. Being a neutral third party, we've talked about, hey, if you date this person and they treat you like crap and you break up, and you date another person, they treat you like crap and you break up, you date a third person, they treat you like crap and you break up, maybe it's you. It shouldn't slap you in the face. I know you want to be different, but maybe you were yelling at her because that's the only way you felt like you could get through, because of the loudness and the wailing. And neutral party saying, maybe it's you, darling. Maybe everybody yells at you because all you're doing is yelling.
Right. Well, and or just kvetching me out the same thing and not willing to change.
Right.
Holding on to the pain, being addicted to that kind of behavior or emotional thing, right, that you're going through, and not willing to even try. And so that you've heard it for day in and day out for so long, and it is so negative.
Yeah.
I was surprised when they talked about their children being that way to them, because I know that the children loves her.
But, you know, at some point you're like, and never, you know, I actually said this once to somebody decades ago, because I just was so unprepared and just could not handle what they were trying to put on me. And they weren't really going to kill themselves, but they kept doing it in a quieter, slower fashion, what you're talking about. They kept putting that, but, "Oh, I'm going to do this." I finally said, "Just piss or get off the pot," and hung up on them.
Right.
Which is not the right answer, right? That's horrible.
No, and my wrong answer after an hour of this was, you know, she kept going back to saying bad stuff about herself. I was at the very end of it, was, and it was a calm, it had been a little calm, but it was like, I can't, allow you to talk about yourself like that. It's not okay. So I have to go inside now. I was sitting in my truck.
Yeah, okay.
I have to go inside now. So I'm going to end this conversation.
Yeah.
And then nothing. Silence. And then I just say goodbye.
Yeah. No, I don't think that's
and silence. And I hung up.
Nestle,
and that's the beginning of me feeling like ass.
But and I get that. But as an outside, again, as outside party, I'm telling you personally, I don't think that was necessarily the wrong answer. Because what if you're imagining a therapist? I don't know if you've ever been to a therapist. I know you've done the Zen.
I've done some, yes,
stuff.
I have. I'm a big fan of therapy. I have done some therapy
okay.
on my own.
So what do you think a therapist would have done? Do you think a therapist would just let them yell at them and wail at them for an hour? Or do you think they'd be like, okay, this has to stop or we're going to reschedule this? Speaking of rescheduling this, we just hit the time. I think we're getting somewhere both with how you feel about things. And that's the thing. We're not here to talk about her problems on this show. We're going to talk about how we deal with the different things. I think that's going to help the audience. So please stay tuned. We'll be back in just a moment.
Since 2011, Mordant and McFall have been bringing you the comedic motivational show, Success Freaks. They've covered everything from life and death to relationships and money and even on beyond to chasing and catching your dreams and leveling up your life. They're in the business of entertaining and edifying, and they'd like to level up their message as well as their reach. This is where you come in. If you believe in what we're doing here, we'd like your continued support in giving your mind and spirit something to chew on each week while putting enough laughter in your heart to make you smile out loud. Help us help others and you to be awesome. Just go to patreon.com/successfreaks.
Welcome back to Success Freaks number 244 in over my head. And I'm throwing it to Charles now.
Okay. So I ended the last time we were up against the wall, but I was saying, you know, when we say in over my head, we all relate to the term my in our brains and our psyche. You know, we say, oh, I relate that to me because I say my about myself. And then as more is going through, I mean, we all have friends who rely on us too heavily. We all have the family member that maybe relies on us too heavily. So I was like, you know what? Let's keep going with this about how you felt, Morten, about how you dealt with it, because I think we all as humans relate to that. We get something out of that. Not so much about dealing with the person on the phone's problems and how you were success-free, but how you're a human being and how it affected you. So the last thing we really talked about was you felt like your inappropriate answer was, okay, I'm not going to allow you to talk to you about yourself this way. I want to hang up the call. And there was silence. You said, okay, bye. And there was silence. They didn't respond. You shut it down. And of course, I asked you as a therapist or what you think a therapist would do. I think they would shut it down as well. But let's talk about how you felt. You felt responsible, didn't you, for them when you
hung up? Yes, I did. And it was, I'm very blessed. Two reasons. One is this show. I get to talk about, you know, my issues and things that I go through. And this show is very cathartic. I can work things out here for the fun and edification of people listening. I'm very fortunate in that I had my girlfriend who has dealt with people like this, you know, who has talked to therapists as well. And we have friends who do therapy, et cetera. So she was able to just exactly like you're doing, saying, actually, you did the right thing because, you know, you set boundaries, you adhered to them when they crossed them. You know, you were able to stay in that, saying, hey, this is not okay that you do this. She even prompted me the next day, yesterday, to call. She says, no, you need to get in touch with them. And so you can let them know that and set up a conversation where it can be more positive, because honestly, these people really are, because it doesn't sound like they're reaching out for help. They just want to share their problems with you. But when it's at this level, when it's actually you're dealing with depression, and it's more than just, oh, I'm depressed. It's you know, sometimes there may be something physiologically wrong that does need to be addressed. But the initial thing is conversation with somebody who is a professional. Yeah. But they are reaching out for help. They are hoping that you will at least give them some kind of bright, shiny something. And even if it's a step that they can take towards feeling better about themselves so they can do something, you're not going to change anybody. I'm a firm believer in we don't change anybody. It's not until somebody's ready to change that change actually happens. The most that you can do is plant a seed. And so don't feel bad when the change doesn't happen because of you. Still, this is somebody, this is a family member. So I was not feeling my best. And in my head knowledge, I knew, you know, after talking to Christy and, of course, now talking to you,
sure,
I knew that I had done the right thing. I still didn't feel great about it. So I'm dealing with those feelings still.
Now, when you're talking about searching for help, I would put a different little caveat spin on it that I don't think that people who talk are always searching for help in that moment, because I needed help throughout most of my life. But I found, especially thinking back over how I did things, and especially in the transition the last 5 or 6 years where I've changed how I do things, I used to vent, quote unquote, a lot, which really was me just being ugly about people in my life. Because I can look back and go, venting goes, get the anger out. Okay, let's talk about, all right, this is where I'm wrong. This is where I'm being insensitive. You know, let's use you, Mordant, for an example. I'm being insensitive to Mordant. I'm being an ass. So, you know, that's venting. I get this anger because it comes from something else. Mordant hit this button, and I'm blaming him. But once I actually burn the energy out, I can go, really, he didn't do anything. He just said a thing that is a normal person thing to say, and I'm being very sensitive and not dealing with an issue from the past. But what I was doing through most of my life, before I started really wanting a positive life, before I started going, you know what, I'm tired of venting. I'm tired of the anger and being ugly to people in my head and in my words, because words mean things. As I realized it more and more, I changed how I said things. I would tell one angry story to my best friend, and I would tell the same angry story to my wife, and then I'd tell the same angry story to, say, you, and you'd be like, well, why are you mad? I don't want to talk to you anymore. And I go tell the same angry story to somebody. And I was really just living in the anger, trying to look to be justified for the anger. So I think sometimes, I'll say we, because I told my story, sometimes we are not looking for help as much as we're looking for camaraderie, and to say that what you're feeling, you know, I don't know, you're enjoying the moment, and maybe you're being the rock star. And especially if you're around dramatic people who will verify that, oh my God, they were so horrible, I can't believe they said that to you.
Right.
You get that feeling. Whereas when you find somebody real, in this case yourself, where they called you, and who knows what other family has done, when they said, hey, everybody else yells at me, well, I can't believe you're doing it too. Well, you know, we know why they yell at you, because all you're doing is yelling. And who knows? Maybe they tried. Maybe they just responded instantly like a human being. Because as human beings, I could show you right now, if I just slowly started ramping up my voice, you're going to see Mordant do the same thing. You're going to see Mordant come on like, why are you yelling at me? I mean, it's going to trigger that emotional in you, that emotional response, just by raising my voice. Not yelling, but just slowly raising. I'm not going to do it. But we have that in us as human beings. So who knows why they responded to that person the way they responded to them. You did it too. You said you found yourself yelling and this and that and the other, and you don't have the training and the years of being numb to somebody having this issue. So you can go, no, this is how we're going to do it. However, I love the idea of following up with that phone call that they talked about, because what you're talking about is saying, when I yelled and said, you yelled and whatever, they felt like you didn't solve their problems or whatever. You didn't justify them. You didn't solve it. When you hung up the phone, you left it unresolved. A lot of people, especially if they're looking for justification, they're going to shut down. Oh, you shut the door on me. When reality was, you said, no, I don't want you talking about yourself. Let's talk differently. So you following up going, hey, I'm just reminding you, I'm here to talk to you, as long as you talk like a human being. That might actually trigger the searching for help, right?
Right. Yeah, and it was it wasn't that, you know, in retrospect, it wasn't a long time yelling, you know, there was actually long conversation afterwards. I owned it, you know, right away. I apologize for doing that.
And good. That
I
helps,
didn't,
right?
I made sure that I didn't say something like, well, you know, I did this because of what you said. I didn't put it on them. It's not your fault. I didn't, you know, make it their fault, which wouldn't have helped at all. Cause then it's just, oh, look, one more reason. And they're looking for a reason.
Yes.
To feel bad about themselves. They're pushing your buttons purposefully so they can have this kind of conversation, so they can validate the way they feel about themselves and the universe. Now, are you going to buy into that? Well, in the beginning of the conversation, I did. You know, afterwards, it was like, no, this is not okay. And then suddenly it got weird for them, because you're like, no, you can't talk about yourself that way. You do deserve better. No, I don't. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Actually, you do. You just don't see it right now.
Yeah.
and then reaching out again. I'm not a big fan of confrontation. I'm not a big fan of dealing with, especially where I really don't know what I'm doing versus just saying that, and just not knowing how to handle it. But going into it again, you know, reaching out and making the call was part of my growth as well. Now, if it's so toxic and there's somebody who's actually attacking you, and you're dealing with this, it doesn't mean that you have to be there. No, well, if I'm not there, they won't help themselves. Or my ex-boyfriend says he's going to kill himself, but we don't get back together. No, I'm sorry. You don't own that.
Yeah.
It's not on you. They need help. Distance yourself from that dangerous person.
Yeah.
Or if a family member is being violent at you or something. You know, if you're worried that right. they're going to hurt themselves, that's when you call in help.
Yeah, you pass it off.
You call in because you're in over your head.
Yeah. I mean, and there's definitely legitimate times. I think I had somebody, and maybe I'm making it up. I don't know because I don't have enough details. But basically, the idea is you go, okay, I can't help you. I mean, you have somebody who you really need to get some help, get some counseling. Here's, you know, I can help you find a counselor, so on and so forth. But you've got to go to somebody real. And if they still try to push issues, like, no, I've got nothing for you. I cannot help you. You're looking in the wrong place. You need to go to a counseling. And I did have something similar. I went to a church for a while. I've been through many, many churches. And it was at the point where I was ready to transition into from I'm damaged and I'm going to burn the world down to I want to fix the damage. And I went to him telling him I don't remember what it was I was dealing with at the time, honestly. I've dealt with so many things. But it's like, I'm dealing with this. And immediately the guy I trusted, it kind of hurt my feelings. The guy I trusted that thought to me, he's like, oh, I can't. Dude, I got nothing for you. Here's a counselor. You know, you can go to them and they'll help you. And I did push the issue. And he's like, I mean, he was just blatantly honest. He goes, I don't feel like I think we're equal. I'm not above you. I haven't dealt with this stuff. I can't help you. And that's when I ended up going to counseling for a while. So sometimes you do have to push that. We're going to talk a little bit more and on beyond about this, about some of the things I've learned. Coming out of this and before. And I want to know what Mornet has learned and how he's going to handle things differently. So we're going to talk about that coming up and on Beyond Success Freaks next.
Success Freaks Guide to Dream Hunting is an honest and revealing look at tagging and bagging a bigger, badder, better, more life. Mordant and McFall discuss the trials and tribulations encountered on their path through uncharted territory, the lessons learned along the way, and how they use them to move forward. Explore what causes you to hesitate when taking that first big step into the unknown. Discover how to experience the thrill of success firsthand. A guidebook for those brave souls no longer satisfied with an average life. Success Freaks Guide to Dream Hunting, available now at Amazon.com.
Welcome to On Beyond Success Freaks, where we go bigger, better, better, more into the topic of the show. Tonight we're talking about being in over our heads. And Mordant has actually had a situation where I don't think it's unique to being a success freak. I think it's something we've all been in with friends or family members or been around or seen. And it's overwhelming when somebody comes at you with major problems, real world problems, and it throws you under the bus or puts you in the deep end and you're struggling and you want to help and you can't. So I want to know more about what Morta is going to do. So Morta, as you've dealt with this in the last couple of days, we've talked here about the phone call. We've talked here about the things you went through with the phone call. You've had the moment of changing your behavior. I love that you owned it because the right thing to do, you would have been justified to say, I'm yelling because you're yelling. But the right thing to do, the helpful thing to do was to do what you did. I'm sorry. I apologize. Let's try something different. Because it never hurts to say you're sorry when you're actually trying to move into something better, right?
Right.
So we talked about how you hung up and how you felt with it and you're still dealing with, you know, you don't carry that weight. You know, that's not your monkey to fix, or however the phrase goes.
Right. So. Well, and what's interesting about that is with this person and the negativity for a while, I've kind of shrugged my shoulders and said, I don't know what to do here. I've tried to speak positively. I've tried to direct the conversations in a positive manner. This is not, like you said, not my circus, not my monkeys. You didn't say that, but you implied it.
Yeah.
So this is almost like the universe going, yes, but you're still here to shed light. Yes, but you have something to learn from this. And whether that something is just kind of, you know, even if it's putting myself in the situation again and it goes nowhere and I finally have to remove myself completely going, I can't, I don't know what to do. So I'm just going to keep giving you, every time we have this conversation, I'm going to keep giving you the same. I'm going to beat the dead horse and say, please find help. Please find help. And I went as far as looking for help in the area. So I have one in one of my million tabs up. It's a therapist in the area. Because just to say, hey, go find help, and in the back of my head's going, she's not going to do that. She's not going to look it up. You know, you look it up, still not put yours. It in their hand. What?
That's still not yours to hand. I mean, it might not hurt to do it once. But I can tell you, like, my mom always thought I should be in the church and that I was straying from Jesus. So her idea of help was every single time I saw her, are you praying? Are you doing a daily devotion? I got you a daily devotion. Here's a new book about God in your life. And finally, I just had it out with her, like, I don't give a crap about your Jesus. I mean, that I did, but I had to say that to get her to stop. So I'm just saying, yeah, one step of going, hey, I even said, here's some therapists, and then you let it go might be helpful. But if that's all they get from you, then not going to talk to you anymore. But here's the flip side. Go ahead.
Set up rules of the conversation and adhere to them. That's probably the best thing that I can do. You know, in the beginning, here's the therapist thing. And then from then on, all of our conversations on, just be, have the conversation, try to steer to a more positive way. And then when they step over, say, no, this is not who you're, you talk like that with everybody else. That's not our conversation.
Yeah.
And it's going to be frustrating for both of you. You know, and eventually they'll get tired of it,
right.
Or you'll plant enough seeds where they're going to go, okay, well, obviously this person cares about, and that's one of the things I said, do you believe that I love you? Yes. Do you believe that I have your best interest at heart? Yes. Then this is what I'm suggesting.
Yeah.
You know.
Then live out of that belief and do the same. No. But you do become.
So what was your level up? Just getting back to the last segment, what was your level up so that we can hit that?
All right. I guess I have two because I was about to get into you become the rock. You become the person who says the same thing over and over again. And a quick illustration of that is that a friend of mine, when we were in a band together, she had all this family drama, and her family is super dramatic. And she had a grandfather who was getting up there in age and kept getting sick. And one day, and we talked, and she'd been with me when I went through my grandfather's stuff. And I'd shared the stories of what I did for him while he was alive and helped his life be better. I mean, it was one of my first true stories of being a success freak and helping him be awesome. So when she kept coming at me with this stuff, I did the same thing you talked about. I fought her. I was like, oh, you got to do this. Finally, I just became that rock saying the same thing like you're talking about. But instead, when she finally said, what would you do? Which is how she'd always do. I was like, what do you think I would do? And she's like, well, you know, this. I was like, so what if you were me, what would you do? And I made her do the same thing, say the same things, and it actually changed her life. She actually started doing what I would do instead of getting my advice and just going, okay, that's cool. She said, this is what I would do if I were you, and then she started doing it. So that's one of my level ups is you become that rock. You know, I'll just leave it there so I can hear what your level up is.
Well, my level up is it's not personal. Don't take it personally. You know, the find your reason for being there in that situation. And it may be just to have that, to learn more about how to deal with the situation. But don't beat yourself up about it. If you do something badly, pick yourself up and learn to do it better. It doesn't mean that you have to put yourself in the face of, you know, whatever is awful happening. If somebody's abusive to you, you don't have to be there for that. You know, if you're in a bad relationship and you're like your boyfriend, girlfriend, and you decide that, okay, this is not good, I'm breaking up. Well, I'm going to commit suicide. That's not on you. And it's something that somebody needs to look at, but it's not you. Learn compassion, but, you know, I think setting up boundaries and holding your ground and you have to protect yourself emotionally. You know, whatever that is. For me, I do meditation. I envision, you know, something that oddly enough helped and that Christy suggested, you know, a vision of bright light surrounding you and then all that goodness. You need to clean out all the badness or all the you know, negativity. And every time I did it, even for a few seconds, my mood lightened. So that was also up to me, because sometimes I just wouldn't, oh, I don't want to do that. But then when I do it, my mood lightened. You need to protect yourself, because when you get dragged down into the quicksand, it's like when you go and you learn how to do life saving, and you go out to grab somebody in the water, and they start pawing at you because they're panicked and they're going down and they grab at you. If you let them do that, they're going to drag you down too. The hardest thing you have to do is push them away. Until they either, you know, and keep pushing them away until they're exhausted enough, they stop trying to drag you down so that you can bring them in. Otherwise, you're both going to go down. So you need to protect yourself as yeah. well.
So let me ask you before we run out of time, because I think we're definitely going to be talking in between. So if you'd like the end of this conversation, you need to go to patreon.com/successfreaks and pledge at the level that gets you the extra content. Because there's definitely going to be some stuff today for sure related directly to this. But what are you going to do next time? Not exactly with this family member, but the next time that you're in a situation where it's overwhelming like this. What are you doing to change how you take the steps personally?
You want the honest answer?
Yeah, absolutely.
The honest answer is I'm probably going to be all knee-jerky and do similar thing again, you know, unless I get some training in it. And the next time I'm going to do a similar stuff, but a little bit better. It goes gradually unless you get some training in it. Now, what may happen is that my head will click over faster, or maybe I won't yell, or maybe, you know.
See, I disagree with the training part. I mean, yes, it's helpful, but I think there's a principle in psychology that's about being conned or being tested, false memories, those kind of things, that once you're aware of the process, and this goes with sales, once you're aware of where they're coming from salesmanship. You never ask a dentist if you need something done to your teeth, right? Because they're always going to say yes. You never ask a house painter if your house needs being painted, because that's what they do. But once you're aware of that, you change how you approach things. And I think because you've gone through this and been aware of it, you're actually going to change a lot more in the next situation than maybe you think you will without training. Not saying training is bad. I'm just saying I think you're going to adjust a lot more than you think you will. Just being
training's
aware
bad,
of it.
Don't ever mess with it. Oh, and I just want to say, I know this is all the way over here in the ambiance section, but I wanted to say it early on and I didn't get a chance to do it. I just want to wish your wife happy birthday. And I did already on Facebook, but I wanted to wish, you know, somebody who has been a delight and has put up with you and me a very, very happy birthday.
Very cool. I will make sure that she knows. Very quickly back to – thank you for that. There's some stuff I want to get into that we have to wait till the after, because it's going to be a long conversation. But one of the things I learned before this is, like I said, going through my own experiences, being aware and not getting training, just kind of being aware of things, going, I know – what I can do, I know what I can't do. I had a friend going through relationship issues that rang home with me, but I started the conversation with him. It's like, I'm here to let you talk. I'm here to share my stories, but they're my stories. And I'm going to be up. And once he said, yeah, I'd love to talk about it, so I'm going to be upfront with you. I'm not a therapist. You need therapy for all this, marriage counseling, whatever. That's not what I do. I'm here to share my stories and give you stuff that I learned. Secondly, this might not work out for you. Just brutally honest, you're going to get the brutal truth from me, and your marriage may not work out. This isn't to solve your marriage. This is to help you get through whatever it is you're going through. And that's something I've learned, is I set those boundaries very quickly, and he got it. And it made for a great conversation of the ups and downs and the bad nights that he had and some of the good times. And he came out of his situation personally much better than when he went into it. The situation is the situation. But he changed, and that was my ultimate goal, was to help him change himself. So that's something I've learned. I think that's something you've gotten out of what you've done as well here. But that means we have to get out of here, sir. So why don't you, I guess, let's do this, and we'll do some extra.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, thank you for tuning into this episode of Success Freaks. And a little different than what we usually do, but you know, we try to run the full gamut here. This has been R. Mordant Mon.
And I'm Charles McFall. And I'm just going to leave it there today.
Ciao, success freak. Boom, baby. Boom, baby. And you can let your head down.